You're listening to Hits Collecting Dust with Donald Jenkins. On now, Corey Crowder, Part 2.
Well, at the time I met the Corey Crowder, I remember I was nervous because I didn't really know what I was doing. And to be quite honest, this podcast is a new venture for me, but I've learned so much from writers in that what you just said earlier.
Yeah.
Dare to be shitty.
Yeah.
I really don't really know if I know what I'm doing when it comes to podcasting. But then I hear you go, well, I don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to writing music. You just do it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's what I've learned. It's like, well, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And it'll either get better or it won't, but I will never sit back and go, what if?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at. But that being said, I didn't mean to get on a tangent. No. When I met you there, by the way, we look younger 4 years ago. I went back and watched your video.
We do.
I swear it was just yesterday. But
I've had a kid since then, and that'll age you quick.
Oh, gosh.
I feel like I have just bags constantly under my eyes.
But it was a great interview. So you had just done America. I literally had a flip cam. I wasn't even using like an iPhone or anything. It was a Nokia flip cam at Neighbors.
Neighbors, yeah. That used to be my spot.
But I had a tripod. It was so weird. And we sat at a booth. We had a beer. And I was like, you told me your story. That was some good stuff. I'm not going to repeat that. So if you want to go, if you're listening to this, want to go to my YouTube page, it's up there, Corey Crowder. But, hey, a lot's happened since then.
Yeah.
You've had a big year this year.
Yeah.
So this is me giving the opportunity for my friends to play songs that, you know, maybe have not been cut, but I can't help it because it is one of my favorite songs, and it's obviously a huge hit, so I'm going to have to ask you to play. Well, I'm going to let you introduce and tell the story. How's that?
Sure. This is really hilarious. If you could see behind, which I'm glad you can't, if you could see me on my computer right now, you would see me pulling up the lyrics to a song
that's
I should absolutely know the lyrics to, because it was just the number one song.
I was about to say, millions of people know every word to that song.
I know, isn't that hilarious? Hey, I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna.
Okay.
Does he have a capo in here? If not, I'm just gonna crack. It's all good. It'll be fine. I'm gonna do it. We're just gonna crack. Here we go.
All right.
So I met Chris Young a couple years ago through a friend, Josh Hogue. We wrote a couple songs, just started hanging out. Super cool guy. Chris started this conversation of, man, I'd love it if you produced some sides on me from our new record. It's like, okay. So we kept writing, and I cut 6 songs. The label loved it. I ended up doing the whole record with Chris. Me and Chris co-produced it together. And then we just had the first number one off of it. It's 3 weeks at Billboard. I got 2 ACM nominations this year. I've never been nominated. I've been to the ACMs, but I sat in the like cheap seats. So this year I'll be on the nominee floor, which is crazy.
That's awesome.
I've got to buy a suit because I don't own a suit. It's just funny. It's been a good year though, man. It's I wrote and produced the current single, the duet with Cassidy Pope, and it's top 20 right now already, and like it's only been at radio 4 weeks. It's insane.
It's all just kind of coming together, but
it really
it's
is,
not,
man.
You told me, you may not remember this, but you actually told me in the first interview 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And what's really cool now is to have this conversation 4 years later. But you told me then, you're like, it's never one big break. It's like a million little breaks.
Yeah, it is.
Then make the big
break.
You told me that 4 years ago. And now we're looking back and look what's happened in 4 years. And you're like, so this hit, now this hit, and you're like, most people want to go, oh, well, it's all happening overnight.
Oh, heck no. Dude, I've been doing this since I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm 30. I turned 33 this year, so.
So how many millions of things have happened, decisions have been made?
Thousands of songs.
Right.
Thousands.
So.
Well over 1,000 songs.
Well, I'm going to let you play this song.
Cool. So this is I'm Coming Over. Say goodbye, see you around. We turn our backs, turn back around. Break up, we make up, and we make up. We can't seem to let go, girl. So I'm coming over, running every red light. Deal with the closure, save it for another time. Try not to think about you, but it ain't. all alone. You're on my phone, telling me you miss me, that you're at home. Who knows what we are in the morning? All I know is I want you.
Favorite song.
Thank you, dude.
Hey, funny story, and I it's funny.
Oh, God.
I have to tell it.
Okay, dude. It's great. It's a great story. I know exactly what you're telling.
Oh, gosh. So we're at country concert, and if you don't know what country concert is, it's kind of like, oh, gosh, how do I describe this?
I can't wait to see how you describe country concert.
It is like the, oh, gosh, like the mecca for country music redneck fans.
It's the Bonnaroo of, but redneck. It's dirty
and
nasty,
oh,
but awesome.
It's all. I mean, it really is.
I looked out while we were while Chris was performing. I can't. No, it may have been Cole Swindell performing, and it's like 2 p.m. and there's like girls that shouldn't be in bikinis, but are in bikinis, and
right.
They're way too small, and they're up on dudes' shoulders, and they're like hitting beers together, and I'm like. That's who we write music for right there.
And what made it...
I love it.
What either made it worse or better, I think it's one of... It rained the whole time. Remember? It was muddy.
Yeah. It was nasty.
But the cool part about it is, I mean, it was a great trip. And we had 2 RVs. There was, what?
Yes.
10 of us guys. And so the song was just really gaining a lot of traction. And Chris was obviously one of the... performers. We were side stage and he was playing. He called you out. I never forget that. What's up? Come on in, man. And watch your head.
Yeah, you're gonna hit your head. Be careful.
Yeah. So hey buddy, we're recording.
But Austin, hey, Jinx is here.
Austin, what's up?
How y'all doing?
Hey, we have a lot of people coming in. I'm excited. I'm telling the story about country concert.
Dude, this is the best part. So Donald, if you can't see Donald, but Donald is a very attractive male, and I say that just with the utmost confidence that,
well, you're married,
that
man,
I'm
kids,
straight.
So.
And I just promise you, though, that Donald is a super attractive dude, and so we were like, all right, Donald, come on, man. Get some girls over here. So he's like, all right. He goes, well, I can't get girls, just me. He's like, you're the guy that wrote the song. Just get your guitar out. I'll get girls over here. You play your hit. It'll be great.
All right, preface this by, like, it's like 1 in the morning. Like,
oh, yeah.
Concerts or shows are over.
Yeah.
And a full day of, I don't know. It was just... Unbelievably, we were already just, it was not pretty, and I had a lot of confidence that I was about to pull our own crowd, right?
Right.
The stage didn't have anything about what we were about to pull over at our RV, because 2 reasons, well, really only 1, we had Corey Crowder that wrote the Chris Young song, and so my idea was Corey's going to sit there in a chair, do nothing but play a guitar. I'm going to be out here, and I'm just going to direct traffic, mainly females. And before you know it, we're going to have the most epic RV party ever at 1 in the morning. And so, sure enough, I go out there. And about 10 minutes later, I came. Well, I did get one.
You brought one tattooed, very, very drunk, or at least she was stoned or something. She came over, and he was like, hey, Corey's gonna play a song, and I just was trying to like play humble. I was like, so what do you want me to play?
Right.
And like, thinking like she was gonna be like, play a Chris Young song. And she goes, do you know Wagon Wheel? I was like, Donald, screw you!
Seriously, we got this guy.
I'm going home.
I was like, God, and they all died laughing. They're like, yeah, Corey, play Wagon Wheel. I was like, Donald, this is not the deal we cut.
Oh, well, I tried. At least I tried. Nobody else was really putting any effort. But anyway, we still had a blast. That I will never forget that.
That was a fun trip.
It was unbelievable.
That was a very fun trip. I needed it. I came home and I just felt like I just needed like the longest shower I've ever taken. It was so brutal.
That and, you know, 16 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
But,
oh, man.
Which I did. You know, have to come home and... Now you have dad duties.
Oh yeah, I can't go home to my wife who's taking care of the 3-year-old for a week and be like, I just need to rest.
To sleep. Yeah. All right. Well, a couple of questions. All right, I'm gonna end a lot of times like this. So if you could sit down and have coffee with yourself when you first either started pursuing music or moved to Nashville, how would that conversation go? What would you say? What would you tell yourself?
I don't think I would like save myself any heartache by like directing myself. Because I think all that kind of worked itself out and towards the good, greater good. I think I would kind of encourage myself, though, to just kind of keep my head down and just write. You know, this is one thing I always tell people. I'm like, you know, I used to complain about having to write so much, but man, it really does help. I wish I could go back and be like, dude, just write like twice a day. Just write. Just write bad songs, write good songs, write whatever. Just write and don't get attached. Just leave it in the hands of other people, you know, to like kind of help you. I also would go back and tell myself the main thing is to just be me.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time for the first couple of years just kind of chasing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's popular on the radio. Let me write that. And that's popular. But what writers don't ever realize is that stuff was written like last year. And so they're already, the people that are successful writers are writing what's going to be cool in like 2 years. And so just kind of doing your own thing and making your own path and just realizing, like, if what you do isn't popular now, it might be in 2 years. And so, you know, don't do what so-and-so's doing. They're already doing it, and they're doing it really great.
Yeah.
And I wish I could have saved myself a couple of years of, like, chasing.
But knowing who you were then, do you think you would have listened to yourself?
Probably not. It's funny because I'll tell some people sometimes and I'm like, man, don't chase nothing. And they're like, yeah, but so-and-so's chasing it and they're getting cuts. I'm like, you know, but so what?
Right.
Do you, man?
Well, I think that's a good point. You know, when you hear that, I know when I hear it, I go, all right, that's a scenario that may never happen, but it actually happens every day. So, like, what's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? And can I use that same perspective of, all right, if I could talk to myself, I'd tell myself just to, first of all, listen to me.
Yeah.
Which means whatever advice you get now, listen.
Yeah.
You know, don't just take it and let it go in one ear and out the other because, you know, I know a lot of things that are told to me. I go, yeah, that's good. And then I just forget about it. I don't really apply it. It's kind of like it makes you feel good for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on and you keep doing what you're doing. And I think if there's one thing that it's just like an awareness.
Yeah.
Look, people are telling you things because we all do what we do because usually somebody has helped us out along the roads at some point in time, right?
Dude, Rivers Rutherford gave me this. He's a legendary writer. He gave me this awesome piece of advice one time. He said, never be afraid to let someone be the expert. Mm-hmm. And that means a lot of things, but in this instance, it's like, never be afraid to just like play dumb and let somebody be the expert for a minute. You just never know what you're going to learn. And people love to talk. People love to talk about themselves.
Right?
People love to be the expert on a subject and know more than you about something.
Right.
And let them. And dude, it goes a long way. And I've like really taken that advice, like especially people that have been in it longer. I just always kind of took that approach of like, man, what do you think about this? And you know, or man, how come my mixes get better? You know, like I just feel like my demo mixes are
right.
You know, just playing dumb. And it has really gone a long way. As best piece of advice, I remember that night going home to my wife being like, this is so simple, but it's so good.
I feel like most of that real life-changing advice, it's almost, it sounds too simple, which is why maybe we don't, you know, apply it. It's like, it can't be that easy. Well, all right, finish this sentence.
Okay.
If you really knew me, you would know...
I'm a conspiracy theorist.
You're a truther? Is that what they...
Dude, Kale, I don't think I've ever dropped this bomb on Austin. Maybe I have. Maybe drunk one night I dropped it on you. But dude, I am like, I crave half of what I watch on YouTube and podcasts other than comedians is like conspiracy theory stuff. I just love it. I don't know if it's true, but I love thinking about it. Other than music, it consumes most of my thought process.
That's awesome. Like, that's a fun fact, but that's also, like, I feel like most conspiracies are like scary.
I love it. I love the thought that there's government secrets we don't know about. There's stuff that, like...
You ever seen Zeitgeist?
To know about. What?
Zeitgeist.
No.
That'll freak you out.
Dude. Oh, dude. I need to watch it.
It goes into all about how 9/11 was set up and all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I had this conversation the other day. So I'm about, like, you know, Hitler didn't kill himself, right? I'm like, what? I'm like, and they're like, no, really? They have all this evidence and this, that, and the other. And I go, well, what really bothers me about that is I really don't care, but I'm like... The whole world pretty much knows or thinks that, so why would, who's pulling those strings? I don't know, but I guess.
I just love thinking about it. I don't know.
There's your Corey Crowder fun fact. Yeah. He is a conspiracy theorist. So if the FBI break down our door at any point in time.
No, just don't get me drinks and talking about aliens. I won't shut up.
Cool, man. Well, hey, appreciate you stopping by.
Dude, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
So much fun. This is really, like I said, I'm trying to open the door. It's not meant to be any one way or the other than like bringing friends that are really good at what they do. And I'm like, gosh, I wish the rest of the world could hear what I get to hear. So appreciate you coming by and doing what you always do, right?
But, yeah, man.
Now we're putting it on record. If you want, hang out for a bit. I know we got some more friends. We got another one in the room. And then some guy that you're working pretty close with is stopping by as well. So
that sounds good, dude.
Corey Crowder, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, buddy.
See ya.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.